Hebrews chapter 2. Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. It is a delight and joy to be with you this morning and again this evening. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Father, we're grateful for your word. We know it is a living word. We know that it is inspired and preserved. And we're thankful, dear Lord, for the time that you give us here this morning in the house of God. We've been ministered to by just the fellowship of God's people, then the wonderful corporate worship and congregational singing, and then just the excellent choir special and the special music right before the message. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. And we pause and we ask for your power and for your presence and that you would be pleased with what takes place in this hour. Meet the needs that we have and show to us, each of us, that we indeed are needy people. And reveal to us what our needs are. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. The writer of Hebrews speaks about so great salvation. And I'm so glad to stand and say, hallelujah, I've been saved. There's a lot of things that I'm planning on doing. I'm planning on catching a flight back to Tennessee tomorrow, but I never know, that may not happen. Something tragic could happen on I-95. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know what God's will is, but one thing that I do know is I know I'm going to heaven. I was knocking on doors one day, and a little lady came to the door, and she said, can I help you? I said, well, I'm just talking to people about Jesus today. And I just want to know, if you were to die, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And I heard a gruff voice around the corner say, nobody can know that. And I said, well, I must be God's pet because I know it. And if you'll let me come in and sit down, I can show you how you can know it. And they invited me in, and it was a big old truck driver and his little bitty wife, and they were a truck driving team. And I sat there at their kitchen table and opened the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit opened their hearts and their heads, and both of them received Jesus Christ. The next Sunday morning, here they come in their big diesel truck up the driveway of the church to come forward and walk down and make it public. Aren't you glad that you're saved this morning? Now, God's salvation is great salvation. And we want to answer the question, what is salvation? Let me say that salvation is an experience. Salvation is an expression. And salvation is an expectation. Salvation is an experience between an individual and the Lord. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Salvation involves an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in the church membership. Our faith is not in the baptistry pool. Our faith is not in the works or the good deeds that we try to do. All the good things that we might do on this side cannot eradicate one lie that we told over here. So we need to understand that it is an expectation and expression and experience. Now, the expectation that we have of salvation is the expectation of what the Lord has in store for us in the future. And that is all our sins are forgiven. And if you're here this morning and you're not certain, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, you're living second class. You're flying second class, friend, because I want you to know this. God loves you and he gave his son for you. So you too can have all your sins forgiven and heaven can be your home. You see, absolute dependence on what God has done equals salvation. Anything that I can do that's better or good, better than you, anything I can do better than you has nothing to do with salvation. Well, if I can do this and if I do that and if I do this and if I do that, it's not about me or I or myself. It's about what he has already done on Mount Calvary. So absolute dependence on what God has done equals salvation. And then absolute dependence on what God has said equals assurance. So what are the evidences of real Bible salvation? Now, we're going to come back to Hebrews 2, but would you turn to Psalm 40? And here in Psalms 40, we have David's psalm of the evidences of true, real Bible salvation. Notice, first of all, there has to be a realization. In Psalm 40, verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You see, there has to be a realization that we have to have a spiritual awakening. The Bible says, Jesus said, unless we become as a little child. Last Sunday, I have a little granddaughter. She's 3, and she had not been really good in the nursery. And she came to her granny, and she says, Gran, I've got troubles. Now, she's 3 years old. Gran, I've got troubles. And she said, well, Maggie, what are your troubles? She says, well, you see, and she motioned, well, you see, I disobey, and I lie, too. Now, it's interesting that three-year-olds are so quick to confess and see their troubles. But some of us who are 33 years old, we might want to see that we've got troubles, too. We need to come to the realization that religion's not going to get us to heaven. Anything that we do cannot get us to heaven. Sacraments that we might partake of is not connected to heaven. We go to heaven, as we sang earlier, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, man must realize that he is in trouble. He is lost and undone in his sins and iniquity. And David cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard his cry, and the Lord gave him security as he is now saved. Why? Because his feet is upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Now, not only do we see that there's a realization, but notice in the second part of Psalm 40, we see the real evidence of Bible salvation. Look, notice in verse 3, there's a new song in his heart, and he has put a new song in my mouth. Do you enjoy songs that praise and edify and glorify the Lord? That's the new songs. Notice he had a testimony that others could see in verse 3. He says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And notice he had this trust that was complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Notice he had an acknowledgement of the blessings of God. In verse 5, he says, many, many, O Lord my God, are thou wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which thou art towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. He says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know that hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Impossible to count all the blessings. That person who's been saved, they have the new song, they have a testimony, they have a complete trust in Christ, they acknowledge the blessings of God on them, and then there's an understanding of God's will and delight in God's will. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He had an open verbal witness about salvation. In verse 9, he says, I have preached righteousness to the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. And then he had a brokenness when sin came into his life, and he pleaded for forgiveness in verse 12 and verse 13. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And then he had this increased opposition as a result of his salvation. In verse 14 and 15, it says, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them to be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. So we see here in this great Psalms, the evidence is a salvation. There was a realization. He cried unto the Lord in verse 1. And the Lord put his feet upon the rock. Then after the salvation that took place, he had a new song. There was a testimony. There was this trust that was completely in the Lord. He acknowledged the blessings of God. He understood God's desire and God's will for his life. And he had this open verbal witness about the goodness of God and God's salvation. There was a brokenness when he did sin. And then he faced often opposition because of his decision. Understand this. As a born-again, blood-washed child of God, we all should have those evidences in our lives. You see, what is so great about God's salvation? The writer Hebrews says, if we neglect so great salvation, what's so great about God's salvation? Let me share four thoughts with you this morning. Number one, God's salvation is so great that we did not have to do anything to earn it. God's salvation is so great that we didn't do anything to earn it. Now, there are some things that we have that we're happy about and we're proud of. And there might be material things, and we worked hard to get those things. But listen to me, friend. Jesus paid it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is all of God and none of man. We cannot earn it, we cannot purchase it, and we do not deserve it. You see, we simply accept God's plan or we reject it. It is our choice. The way has been paid. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and as he hung there in those last hours on the cross, his last words were tetelestai. It is finished. Nothing to be added, nothing to be contributed to it. It was completely paid for. It is finished. It is the rendering's been done, and there's nothing we can do. You see, Philippians 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We know Ephesians verses 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Understand that salvation, it is great salvation because we did not have to do anything to earn it. It is a gift already purchased and paid for to whosoever will. There are those who say, well, what about God's election and sovereignty? Where's all that fit in? Well, whosoever will is elected, and whosoever won't, I guess, is not. Someone says, boy, Pastor Savage, you keep the jelly on the bottom shelf. That's about as high as I can get it, I think. But it makes perfect sense. You see, God wants us to be saved, and his salvation is great because we didn't do anything to earn it. Let me say to you as well, his salvation is great because we can't do anything to lose it. You see, after receiving salvation, we can't lose it. In John chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, if a man didn't, if he did anything to gain salvation, then he might be able to lose it. I lose things all the time. I'm not kidding you. Brother Susan was 18 years old. I feel old today, man, let me tell you. I'm glad you're not 65. But I lose things all the time. I lose my keys. I lose my glasses. I lose my cell phone. Thank you, brother, for the witness. I feel like I'm all alone out here. My wife is always picking up after me. I'll pull her shirt off and I'll hang it over here on the bedpost. That's why they put posts on beds. Amen. And then there's a closet door. You can open it, a drawer, and hang something there. And I'll come back in and I'll say, Where's that blue polo at? It's in the wash. Well, why'd you wash it? It was dirty. I was going to wear it again. You've worn it all day. So I blame her. I lost my keys. Couldn't find my keys. And I'm looking around, and I got an appointment to be at. Debbie, you got to help me find my keys. I got to be. I got a meeting here, and I've got to drive across town. And I'm looking on the fireplace, and I'm looking on the other fireplace, and I'm looking by my chair, and I'm looking by the bed, and I'm looking everywhere. And I'm looking on the back of my office, and back of the house, and on the desk. And she's looking. She's turning. And I put my hand in my pocket, and they're in my pocket. So I take them and I throw them on the bed. I said, "They're on the bed." I'm telling the truth. I pick them up and put them in my... I found them on the bed. And I say with a tone like, "Don't touch my keys again." I'm not going to tell her they were in my pocket. I was working in my office and in my home. And she was just sitting on the couch reading a book. And I was working and, I could see I'm blind without these. I'm absolutely blind. Some of you look a lot better, however, as I look out across here. And I was working, and I didn't have my glasses, and I said, "Honey, would you do me a favor? I'm in the middle of a thought here. Would you please go and bring my glasses from the bedroom?" She says, "Well, sure." So she gets up, absolute truth. She gets up. She goes in the bedroom, and she forgets why she went in there. So she starts spreading out the bed and kind of fluffing the pillows, and she rearranges the things on the dresser. She comes back in, and she picks up her book and sits down and begins to read the book again. I worked for about 30 minutes, and I'm frustrated, and I turned around and said, "Honey, for the life of me, I know you brought me my glasses, but for the life of me, I can't find them anywhere." It's a true story. It's amazing. My church lets me get out. They don't know if I'm going to find my way back or not. We're taking these Shackley vitamins. They got a pill that's supposed to stimulate your memory. It's supposed to help your memory. And we got some samples. She says, "I'm going to let you take them all. I don't want to split them up. Why don't you take them and see if they help you?" So I took one that morning, and I went to the office. And then she calls me. She says, "Can you tell that it's helped?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "The pill I gave you. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel anything different." I wish they'd make a pill to make fat fall off. That'd be great, you know. I lose things all the time. Let me tell you something. God's so great salvation is all of God, and nothing I can do can cause me to lose my salvation. You see, I have been born again, and I cannot be unborn. I have two daughters, and I have two sons. And they are savage blood. Yes. Pale face. And we love each other, and I'm grateful for my children. But if one of them strays, if there's something horrific, if one becomes a pastor and one's a bank robber, one's John the Baptist and the other's John Dillinger, and I'm thinking, oh, let me tell you, our fellowship will be strained. And I'm not sure we'll be seeing John Dillinger at Thanksgiving or at Christmas. I'm not sure how, it's going to be a problem in the relationship that's there. But he's bone of my bone and blood of my blood, and he is a savage. And I can be, as his father, displeased with him, and I can put my wrath upon him, and I could show him my displeasure. But there's nothing I can do to unborn him. And let me tell you, when we're born again into the family of God, we are born again, and we can't be unborn. You see, eternal life, it's never ending. The Greek word for eternal life is eternal life. It means exactly what it says. In John 6, verse 37, the Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out." In John 17, verse 11 and 12, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me." In verse 12, he says, "When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." He says, "Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost." In John 18, verse 9, the Bible says, that the saying might be fulfilled which is spoken, "Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none." Understand, God's salvation is great because there's nothing we can do to earn it, and there's nothing we can do to lose it. Thirdly, let me say God's salvation is great because we cannot do anything to improve upon it. You know, I was born on a weekend, but wasn't last weekend. And I'm not the, you'll get to know me some. I'm an IFB carrying a KJV and a member of the NRA, you know. And, but you know, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, probably, you know. But I do know this, when they bring out these items that are new and improved. And I got to tell you, I love health food. One of my favorite health food things is Twinkies. I went on, Mike Allison will tell you, Dr. Mike Allison, I went on a Twinkie diet one time. I lost 2 pounds, I think. And man, I love Twinkies. And they went out of business. And I was heartbroken over it. I thought, what is America coming to? You know? And they went out of business. And some Canadian company has purchased it, and you can get Twinkies again. But when you open them up, let me tell you something, friend. They're small, new and improved. Our school sells $35,000 worth of chocolate. They just finished a candy sale. And world's finest chocolate. And it's the world's, it's the best in the world. Just read it in the box. It tells you right there. It's the world's finest chocolate. And it used to be 50 bars in there. Now there's 60 bars in there. But the box is the same size. Yeah. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that we are complete in Him. He tells us in Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. The word complete here means that there's nothing more to be added to. It can't be improved on. It's not going to be new and improved. And when we have Jesus, we have all that there is. There's never been a day, never been a day, any person, listen, any person who's ever received Jesus Christ, there's never been a morning that they woke up with buyer's remorse. Man, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me was when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you're here this morning, you may be wondering what in the world's expected of me and what will happen to me and you know, what am I supposed to do? Listen, we just want to open a Bible with you today and show you from God's Word how you can have your sins forgiven and never, ever have to worry about eternity. It's true. You can't improve on it. Lastly, let me say, God's salvation is so great because whosoever wants it can receive it. What a great salvation. You see, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever is an all-inclusive word. For, I think, my 50th birthday, our church surprised us. And they flew us to Cancun, Mexico. Anybody been to Cancun, Mexico? Yeah, I call it Sodom and Gomorrah. And they flew us to Cancun, Mexico. And I just understand, we're just simple people from, grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And my dad had been a sharecropper and just come from very, very common place. And we get to Cancun, Mexico, and we go to this resort, a 5-star resort. And when I get there, it's all. You know, and they have these different bands. They have a red band, and they have a green band. They've got a blue band, but then there's that gold band. That's the all-inclusive band. And they put the gold. I like that. Put that gold band around me. I don't wear bracelets, but I'd wear that one. Let me tell you, it was a gold band. It wasn't like the band I got yesterday, let me tell you. And it wasn't that we could walk in anywhere we wanted to go on the resort. I mean, there's food everywhere. I mean, it was like paradise. There's the beach and I mean, just beautiful scenery and it's just so relaxing. But it wasn't that we could just go in and just get, we had people running to us saying, it's for you, sir, for you. And I saw the people in the corner with the blue bands going. Now, I didn't want to give the wrong impression, but I did walk around a little bit like this, you know. It's all inclusive. You see, we need to understand that Christ paid for everyone's salvation on Calvary. Can I tell you this morning? God knows you, and God loves you. God has every hair on your head numbered. And God finds you so precious that He gave His only begotten Son to purchase us from our sin. We must ask the question. We need to make application. After we come to the point of realization, we are in need of forgiveness of our sins. We need to make application. They took Jesus to Golgotha Hill and they drove the nails through His hands and through His feet. And in the beginning, there were two thieves hanging on each side of Him, and both of them began to rail upon Him. They said things like, "If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross and take us down too." But somewhere in that short time that Jesus Christ was on the cross paying for the sins of the entire world, and I mean every sin, one of those thieves had a spiritual awakening. And he rebuked the other thief and said, "We deserve what we're getting, but this is a just man." And listen, he made application. "Father, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Is that you? Is that where you're at? If you're here this morning and you're saved, are you experiencing the new song and that testimony and the trust completely in Christ and acknowledging the blessings of God and understanding God's will? That's for you if you're saved. But if you're here this morning, listen to me. If you're here this morning and you're not certain where heaven, if heaven's your home, if you don't remember coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not let's make a deal. It's coming to God, broken over your sin, undone in your iniquity, and realizing His grace is there for you too. And it's there for the taking. My wife and I were in Ireland, and there's a dear lady there visiting from Australia. And she was the mother of one of the men in the church there where I was preaching. She was 86 years old, Pastor. And we were invited over to a dinner before the service I was to preach that night. And we knew that she was not a believer. And we had a great meal. We got to know each other quite well. Then we went into the living room to sit for a while before the service, to leave for the service. And I turned to her and I asked her, I said, what she had done first was she had a little gift she brought from Australia and she gave it to my wife. It was a really precious little gift. And she didn't even know Debbie, but she was just a kind person and gave that gift. And then I asked her, I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And she says, "Well, quite frankly, I've never found myself quite bad enough to need Him." Can I tell you, there's not anybody so bad who can't have Him. There's not anybody so good who doesn't need Him. And I went through the scripture with her. 86-year-old, very gracious lady. And I said, "What would you have done if my wife said, 'Thank you for your kind thought and thank you for purchasing the gift, but I don't want it'?" She said, "I would have been highly offended." I said, "The Bible says that God gave His Son. He is the unspeakable gift. I mean, the greatest gift. And how offended God must be today with you." She said, "Pastor, for the first time in my life, I sensed God in this room." What she said, 86 years old. We couldn't draw the net on her, but God met with her. She came to the meetings, And an evangelist who was there sat by her. Another preacher was preaching. I had just finished preaching. And she came forward in that service and she received Jesus Christ. As they dealt with her, we were in another part of the building. And she came and she sought after me. And she says, "Well, preacher, it took three preachers to get me there. But I want you to know, I'm a sinner in need of Christ. And I've received Him today." Isn't that precious? That's miraculous at 86 years old. Now listen to me. Whatever reason you may have for not coming to Christ, it's the wrong reason. You know what He says to us? What the Bible says, it's a wonderful word. It comes from the back of our throat. It's this. He says, "Come. Come unto Me. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. You simply need to come."